This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 302 of the Outlander podcast. I'm
that
Ginger.
That sounds like such a letdown after 300. 302. I feel like after 300, it should be like monumental, but the two at the end makes it sound like it's not.
So who's joining me this week? I said, I'm Ginger. Who are you?
And I'm Summer. Still. Sorry. I'm Shimmer. And we are in love with all things Outlander. Announcements this week. So announcements, we have a couple of little tidbits. I don't think we've had like good announcements in a while, other than Adzo. So the first thing to mention is that we had verification that next season, so season five of Outlander will not be in our hot little hands until 2020. So if you were hoping for Droughtlander to end before the end of the year, I apologize. It's not going to happen. But for those of us who were paying attention to all of the hints that have been dropped for the last 6 to 8 months, we kind of knew. Thoughts, Ginger?
No, I'm just thanking God for answering my prayers.
Which prayer was that? That they wouldn't bring it back till 2020?
Yep.
Okay. And our second bit of news is that for those of you lucky enough to either be in the area or to have tickets and plan to go, Outlander will be having a presence at New York Comic Con. They did not come to San Diego this year, so unfortunately, we were not able to bring you anything new from them. But however, they will be at New York Comic Con.
Now, my little, not tidbit, but I guess wondering would be, because I don't remember, I think it was 2017, just before or before season three premiered and they showed us episode one of the season. I am wondering if, not wondering, well, okay, I'm wondering if, yes, at the end of the day, what I'm getting to is I'm wondering what they will show them. They'll probably get at the very least some snippets. I'm kind of thinking they won't get the first episode, not because of Shade, but because I don't think it'll be ready. In 2017, because again, Comic-Con is always, just like New York Comic-Con is always a certain point in October, I think. San Diego Comic-Con is always the second or third, I think it's third weekend in July. It just depends on how the numbers, I guess, fall. But it's always that second or third weekend, and I'm leaning toward the third. Anyway, so in July of 2017, when we were there, they showed the first episode of Voyager, and we lost our shiz, of course. Well, everyone would.
But we were also real close to the release of the season. Like,
and that was going to be my question. Like, how far was the season? Was it coming out in September?
I feel like it was the fall premiere. Yeah. But I feel like it was either end of summer or early fall premiere.
So I think,
because everyone else got it like within a month.
Season three, I think, came out in September of 2017. And then season four, I think, had a later start. Wasn't it like November of 2018?
It was late, yeah. It was all about the holidays.
It straddled the new year. So, okay.
Absolutely.
So it's not impossible, but since October is – well, okay, here's the big part. Here's the big thing. Stars did not say January or February. They said early 2020. Now – we can mince words here. We can fight.
I feel like,
you know,
that
dice
is
hairs.
At least a four month window.
To me, early means in the first quarter. Quarter is 3 months. You might be able to snag that or pull that over into April, but just my black and white kind of vision about it is, obviously, if it's in the middle of the year, that's not early. May is not early. April is fudging it.
I feel like. For this type of a generalization, that if you have early, you have early, middle, and late. That's how I feel it would be a three-tiered separation, which would
So rather than a quarter, you're thinking of like a trimester.
Yes.
Or a third. Okay.
Because you have early,
I could go
middle, and
for,
late.
I could go for actually either of those. Typically, people and in business and finance and budget and calendar, you speak of quarters typically rather than trimesters more commonly, but it's not impossible. And I am definitely, I can see both. So if you,
if you're in quarters, what would you call the second quarter?
I would kind of early,
but not mid.
I wouldn't call it early. I might say early second quarter, but they're not going to give us that detail.
Yeah.
The whole point is all they said was early. And here we are like mincing words on like what early means. And the truth is, as always, we really don't know.
No.
But what we can say, we can't even say that. What I would be willing to bet, because since they didn't give us a date a month, it ain't going to be January.
No, well, for sure, no.
So the reason I am leaning toward a no for viewing, not snippets, I'm pretty sure they'll get content. But the reason I'm leaning toward a no as far as viewing episode one of season five is because unlike previous cons where they have shown the full episode, it was much closer, like a month and a half or two months at the most. It was much closer to the actual premiere. And they may have still been filming, but they were... I think most of the major filming had already been wrapped, but we shall see.
I would say that every time we have been to a panel or an event that was not very close to the release of the season, we've gotten extended trailers and or scenes from the early parts of the season. So I think that they will get some footage for sure, but I do not believe they will have an entire episode. And honestly, for their sake, I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I hope I'm wrong.
And again,
I hope I'm wrong. I want everyone to have the opportunity to have that excitement, and I hope they get it. And I'm cool to wait for another however long it takes.
We're all going to wait. Whether you wait the whole time for all of it or the whole time for the rest of it. This is not about who gets what. Or I totally understand what you're saying about you like having other people have the opportunity to experience that. Yeah, that's fun. But I guess I won't even use the word like hope in it, because to me it's not about – I respect what you're saying, and I think that's a very kind thing to say. To me, it's not about hope or being against anything. It's just looking at the details, which are very sparse. We actually have no more knowledge than y'all do. But so let us know, you guys.
If we're talking about realistically, I don't think they will get an episode.
So what do you guys think? Do you guys think that we know they're coming to New York Comic Con.
But we don't know who yet. We don't know who. Who do you think is going to go? It could literally just be probably not Diana. She hasn't gone to the last few. So
Diana's working on a book.
I know. She is.
Like very close to being done.
If she's invited, she goes. And the last few, she hasn't been invited to, from what I understand from what I've read online. However, it'll probably for sure be Meryl and maybe Ron, but I think he's also stepped back as well. So potentially Meryl, and then probably Matt Davis if they have a writer on the panel, and then potentially Sam and Katrina, maybe the top four. I don't know.
Let us know who you think will be there representing, and let us know if you think that they will show snippets of an episode, or sorry, the season, or the whole episode 501,
the enchilada. And now on to our read along. This week, I know it's been a while, you guys. We've been busy away and a bunch of other things happening, but we're back and we're regrouping for our read-along, and we are continuing with chapter 32 entitled Mission Accomplished. And I want to point out that this is the end of the part. So after this episode, we are moving on to part four. So this is the end of part three.
Susanna M. writes regarding the title. Mission Accomplished. As always, this title has several layers and can be attributed to several characters in the chapter. Jamie and Claire, who finally reached Brownsville with the newborn baby. Roger did well, according to Jamie, in bringing the militia into town and in managing to calm the townspeople with his singing. Claire, who understands that it's time now to be a grandmother and that her mission as a mother is accomplished. The star-crossed lovers, Isaiah Morton and Alicia Brown, manage to elope together with the help of Jamie. I don't know if it's elope if you're already married, but I understand what you mean. Finally, the mission of the militia is also accomplished since Governor Tryon sent a letter asking them to stand down. Okay.
You just skipped like to the middle of the chapter.
I don't even know if we need to talk about the chapter.
We're done. They got stand down.
We're done.
And while we're at it, Jamie offers, should we take the baby? And Claire says, no, I don't want the baby. So that's the whole chapter. We're done.
That was the shortest chapter ever. Oh my gosh.
Right?
Except for,
It's pretty long. There was a lot going on.
It was 16 pages.
Did you even like read Susanna's thing before you put that as your first thing?
It was a 16 pages. It was a long 16 pages. I was like, okay, we're almost done. Nope. Okay.
It was an hour of Davina. Me and Davina had a solid hour together.
I thought Davina was like about an hour for 20 pages. I don't know. I never have actually broken that down. Because now if that's – I guess it depends on if it's a heavily – if it's a heavy descriptive prose chapter or a heavy dialogue chapter. I don't know. I haven't gotten that detail.
I feel like sometimes the paragraphs are very longer. Descriptive and it – at those points, she likes to kind of like enjoy the words.
Be expressive, yes.
Right. But Davina goes Diana as Davina. Exactly. But sometimes the dialogue is so juicy that she gives that the time. So I can't say 100% that she does the same thing every time given some particular variable. But however, this time it was an hour.
So if we say now, and I'm not going to go back, but going forward, I think it's funny, or not funny, I think it's interesting. So for this chapter, chapter 32, it was 16 pages, and I don't go by any ebook. I think Summer and I both go by, well, Summer sets up the pages, right? Because Summer breaks it down. So you go by the paperback, right? The trade paperback.
Yes.
Okay. So Summer goes by the trade paperback, and according to that, it's 16 pages. So depending on how you're reading it, not the listening, depending on what device or how large your font is or which book
and if you're on a Kindle, if you're on a Kindle, all bets are off because you're getting like four sentences at a time.
You have.
Yes.
It will be longer or shorter.
Right.
Potentially. But at the end, it's words.
But I feel like it's going to take you just as long to read it, regardless of how many quote unquote pages there are.
That's what I just
said.
The number of words does not change.
Agreed.
So, but yeah, let's go forward and at the top before we, well, this time it just happened because it was organic. I'll try and remember to add that to the template too. Just have a check-in at the beginning of each chapter, just for giggles. We don't have to go on about it. Like, you tell me how long it is because you listen, and I will remind us both of how many pages it is, and we'll see after like 10 or 20 chapters, see if we can kind of find any patterns.
You got it, girl.
Okay, so Jamie and Claire have arrived in Brownsville. I wrote B. And I knew what it was, and then I wrote, that's Brownsville. Well, yes, Ginger, it is Brownsville. When Roger sees they've arrived, he's first relieved and then quickly hides this expression and replaces it with one of, quote, square-shouldered self-assurance, unquote. When Jamie casually praises him, you've done well, Roger's face, quote, took on a muted glow as though someone had lit a candle inside him. Martina P. writes, after a pity? Okay. Let's take a pause, side note, or what do we call sidebar? That's what I call it, sidebar. Real quick. I'm jet lagged. Summer, are you still jet lagged?
Girl, I'm up at 4 o'clock every day.
Not on purpose.
Not by choice.
Yeah. So I went from like four to like, the first day was like 1, 2, 3, 4. So Summer and I, because we're that crazy, left. I don't think we've talked about it on this show. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is because it already has affected my speech because I'm tired.
Right.
So I'm just letting you guys know what happened last week. The reason we had a show. I think I put a show up. No, I didn't. We had no show, right?
No, we did an All Souls episode before we left.
Okay. So the last episode of Outlander podcast was 2 weeks ago from the time this goes up. Anyway, so a week ago, by the time this goes up, a week and a half ago, we left on a Wednesday, July 31st, flew to London,
Was that a week and a half ago? That was like a week and a day.
Summer. This is going to be up on Sunday.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So from the day this goes up, we flew a week and a half ago on a Wednesday, left from the West Coast of America to London, then a train, London to Cardiff, to attend an All Souls related event, which of course is related to our other show we do. And the event was technically Friday and Saturday. There was a little bit of a reception kind of registration thing on Thursday night, but Summer and I landed, went straight to Cardiff, stayed up all day, most of the evening, went to this thing, stayed up the whole time, and finally crashed about 10 p.m. Long story short, we got home Sunday. We left Sunday morning in the UK, arrived Sunday afternoon, evening, in the US on the West Coast in California. And we both just happened to, thank goodness, have a Monday off, a regular day off. I'm surprised, maybe I shouldn't be. I'm surprised how long it's taking me to kind of get back into things. But so we're both jet lagged still, which is funny because the trip was like the craziest, shortest trip I've ever done at that length.
I know.
Ridiculous.
But to be fair, my daughter's at sleepaway camp right now, and there's a concert on Friday that we're all going up to see. And because I am devoid of extra annual leave and time off, I am going into work early for most of the week to make up the time so that I can leave early on Friday. So to be fair, I am cultivating my jet lag right now and getting up, even though I could technically sleep more.
You're taking advantage of your jet lag.
I am. I'm definitely doing that for sure.
So we got back. We left and got back within 5 days, and we traveled 6,000 miles. It was crazy town. The event was lovely. It was an amazing weekend. We'll talk more about that hopefully in a future episode of the All Souls podcast, or at least in a post, but maybe in a live. The point is, I can't speak for Summer, although she's just told you she the same or something similar. If I misspeak or like misread things more than normally, that I normally would, it's because I'm still trying to catch up. My brain either can't catch up with my tongue or vice versa. I don't know. So we're working on sleep, but not caught up sleep yet.
I have like an hour until I fall asleep just based on the last few days. So we can do this. I believe in you. I believe in me. Let's move forward.
It's that time. Another season, another FabFitFun box has arrived. This time it's the fall box.
And if you haven't signed up for FabFitFun, what are you waiting for? Our listeners can get a great discount on their first box.
I like that FabFitFun includes full-size premium beauty, lifestyle, and wellness products.
And I like that you can cater the box to your own needs and desires. Say if the options are straight iron for your hair and a moisturizer and a foot scrub, and you have curly hair and will never straight iron your hair, you can say, no, I don't want that.
In this box specifically, I really liked the Body Soufflé by Humankind and cut from the cloth slim striped wallet. It has 7 credit card slots, an ID window, and 1 full-length bill compartment. And it is quite functional as well as chic.
And if you are a fan of exfoliation, there is the Harper Plus Ari Exfoliating Sugar Cubes in Juice Cleanse that smell delicious. I want to eat them, but don't, because they're not edible. And did we mention that the FabFitFun membership goes beyond the box itself? Not only do you get your seasonal box, but they have add-on features to this box. You have subscribers can get access to members only flash sales called add-ons, receive access to on-demand videos through FabFitFun TV, and access content from experts like Jillian Michaels, Venus Williams, and more.
These boxes sell out fast every time, so sign up for yours today.
FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. It retails for $49.99, but always has a value of over $200.
Use coupon code OUTLANDER for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com.
Don't miss out on this latest amazing box from FabFitFun. Use coupon code OUTLANDER for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. The announcement for the week is that Sam Heughan has his own whiskey.
Oh, shut it.
And it's called Sazonac.
Of course
it is. Did you see that online?
I saw something about it, but I never... Oh, my gosh.
I defy any other whiskey connoisseur to try to name their whiskey Sazonac.
It would be like Sassy Natchy. What?
Right, exactly. But I think he's... I literally think it would... I feel like Katrina's not really into whiskey as much. I think she drinks something else. But I would defy anyone else to get away with calling a whiskey Sazonac right now. And for those who, you know, haven't been on the internet at all, Sam and Graham have their own podcast.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
I would also like... I know. I would love to have a whiskey spot. I would love to have Sazonac whiskey sponsor, and I would love to have their podcast sponsor so that we can talk about them more, because I think it's amazing.
Martina P. writes, after a pretty gruesome time at the Beardsley's place, Claire and Jamie are happy to arrive in Brownsville and be reunited with the militia. Way to go, Jamie, and commend Roger for a job well done. I can totally visualize this moment when Roger's face lights up with pride, and then he quickly hides his elation.
He lights up with pride, and also it's like literally the moment, the only time that they acknowledge that Jamie shows up and he's like, you did good. I'm proud of you. And then they move on and they never talk about it again. That's what I got from it. Did you get that from it?
I mean, that's what happened in the book.
Okay. Then I got it right.
What is up with you, girlfriend? You're making stupid noises. Come here. Are you going to come see me? Okay, you're going to come see me. Oh, you got to get in the pouch, baby girl. Hold on. There we go. Okay, purse. Okay. A nursing woman is brought to nurse the young Miss Beardsley, being swapped out with the mother's own son, who blew spit bubbles at Claire. People were curious and confused. And Jamie, at this whole thing. And so Jamie tells the story of the Beardsleys quickly, and everyone shutted their mouths. Because no one needs to hear that at the actual pace it took place.
Oh, my God. Seriously.
And then the question.
But did he tell them that he also shot him? That's what I want to know. How deeply into this story did he go for these people who weren't there?
I have no idea.
Because then, he said later, when he mentioned the whole baby thing in the chapter, he's like, you know, yeah, I killed the father. However, I will move past that if you want to keep the baby. Which comes up later, and I'm sorry I'm jumping ahead, but it just makes me wonder if he told all the things in the beginning.
I have no idea. All Diana tells us is it was very quick. Or quickly tells him. Then the question that is on everyone's minds, what will become of her, this little baby? Mr. Brown, I believe it was Richard, said, quote, oh, we'll see she's taken good care of. She'll find a secure place with us.
I'll marry her to one of my children so that I can own this. I can own the place that her father had that was clearly so big.
Mm.
It was a moneymaker. She's an heiress.
A storm is a-coming. Actually, it's there. A burst of icy wind blows through the room and bursts open the hides covering the windows. Seeing the weather, Mr. Richard Brown offers them, so Jamie and Claire and the men who are already there, a second night's shelter. And Jamie goes out to bring in the bedding, their bedding. And Claire thinks that, okay, this is the point that he had referred to at the end of the last chapter, when he thinks that he'll go outside to speak with Isaiah. I think, doesn't Davina say Isaiah?
I think you're right. But when I read it, I read Isaiah. But
I think I already said Isaiah, but I'm very much audioly, I make up words all the time. I'm very much aurally influenced. So I think I want to say.
I appreciate your pronunciation of orally.
Aurally.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Young Miss Brown, so Richard's younger daughter, took over the care of Miss Beardsley. And Fergus and Gallagher, and I think that's the guy last chapter or the one before, I think it was last chapter, who took up, sorry, who was the one from Glasgow.
Cool.
They were sent off to get the goats before they turned into goatsicles. Once they got back, the nannies were taken to the barn to be milked, and Hiram was left with Claire and the stew pot. No, he wasn't going to become a stew. It was so that she could continue to care for him. And the description of him and what's being offered to him and everything, and I wrote, "Oh, to be a Hiram." As Claire describes the layout and furnishings of the large room cabin, she thinks, quote, "The presence of a sick goat was surprisingly inconsequential." Unquote. Seriously. So she rubs his head, fed him hay, and checks his leg. Martina P. writes, "I always find it so amusing when Claire is conversing with her animal patients. I imagine she can speak out of her heart, be totally honest, and able to vent her anger when she has to stay entirely professional with her human patients. Must be therapeutic for her."
It must be. But I also would like to point out that when she discusses being in the room with a baby, she discusses how they're moist and it makes them sound like they're disgusting. So I wonder how much Claire actually likes babies. I think she loves Brie, but I think in general, she's not into babies.
I don't know. What do you guys think? I never thought about that.
Maybe it was just in the way Davina was reading it, but all of the adjectives that she used to describe a baby, it was like moist and I feel like moist was the big one, but there were more, but it was not an adjective that made me think, oh, she loves that baby. Oh, babies. She loves holding babies. It was something that was like a chore that she was doing because she needed to and not something she was enjoying in any way.
The younger Miss Brown asks her if Hiram is going to die. But it turns out she wasn't there to ask about Hiram. She was there for another purpose. And she finally gets to it after Claire asked about the baby Beardsley in her arms. Alicia, the young Miss Brown, started to cry and said she wished she were dead. She tries to tell her that Isaiah Morton isn't worth it. Oh, sorry. Claire is telling her this. He's married. And she's like, oh, she realizes that Alicia hadn't known that Isaiah was married. That's a little oopsie.
Brutal. It is an oopsie. And honestly, that pisses me off about Isaiah, however you want to pronounce it, more than anything. Because I'm like, that just means she took him at face value and believed everything that came out of his mouth and allowed him to mislead her to make these bad choices and to fall in love with somebody who wasn't available. And I think that's a dick move.
While Claire is trying to gather the mental wherewithal to deal with this topic right now, she's also aware of just how tired she is. Quote, "I eyed the grimy, fire-lit boards of the floor with an emotion approaching lust," unquote. Alicia asks Claire how Claire knows Isaiah is married. And she says, well, he told one of Jamie's men. Whoa. Sorry, this fell. So I wonder that Claire is also hella hungry. While holding baby Beardsley, quote, "the women had washed..." Oh, maybe this is what you were talking about, although I don't think so. Okay, let me just start what I'm saying. I'll read mine again, and then you can respond if you want. I wonder that Claire is also hella hungry. While holding baby Beardsley, quote, "the women had washed and oiled her, and she smelled rather like a fresh pancake," unquote. And that made me laugh. Like I understand if I was wondering if Claire was hungry at that point, thinking of pancakes. It turns out Alicia's mother and aunt know about the pregnancy. Before someone comes in and Claire deliberately cuts off the questioning, Alicia is just about asking Claire, being a healer, and what she might know about slipping a bairn. Claire puts the baby back into Alicia's arms and goes back to stirring the stew. She's thinking about speaking with Alicia's mom or aunt when Jamie shows up. He's quite jolly, as are the rest of the men, it seems. What's up? What's going on? Well, they have good news. Quote, "hearing of General Waddell..." Is it Waddell or Waddell? I think it's Waddell. What did Davina say? Waddell?
I don't recall. I'm looking for the spelling of it right now.
W-A-D-D-E-L-L.
Probably Waddell.
Well, I think you would have remembered if she would have said General Waddle, right?
That's absolutely true. I would have 100% remembered that.
So, hearing of General Waddell's intended approach, the regulators had decided that discretion was the better part of valor. They had dispersed, and as per this order from Governor Tryon, the militia was stood down, unquote. Yay! So the militiamen celebrate. The Browns joined in to celebrate that they didn't have to join the militia. In the end, Claire is tired. Alicia Brown is miserable and sullen as she feeds scraps to Hiram. Roger is singing. Claire gives the baby back to Jemima for nursing. And like, I thought that was the first time I heard that name, but apparently I just didn't remember it from before. Claire has a very old memory.
Okay, so I just found the quote that I was thinking of that I had heard Davina say that made me think that Claire didn't care for babies very much. And the quote is, after an afternoon spent in close contact with babies, all in varying stages of moistness and shrieking, the company of the irascible old goat was rather soothing.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I don't get the feeling from that she doesn't like babies. I get the feeling that she was around babies and people, but loud shrieking kids and babies, and that it was not unpleasant to be left with a quiet goat.
I have never claimed to not care. Okay, that's a weird beginning of that. I have throughout most of my entire life, and especially since I've had my own kid, have reached a less than normal tolerance for other people's children. And I think that the change in me happened when I had my own kid, that I'm like, I tolerate a lot of things that she does because I have to, but I don't tolerate as well maybe the same things that other people's kids do, because I don't have that familial bond with them. I don't know that I had that issue before I had my own kids. So I don't know if that is indicative of becoming a mother and then caring less about other people's children. That sounds awful. It makes me sound like a terrible person. But I have a much lower tolerance for other people's children since I had my own, for what that means.
Claire gives the baby back to Jemima for nursing and has a very old memory, quote, of being held against a warm body, mindless and replete in the sure conviction of absolute love, unquote. So after having or wanting to have a love affair with the floor, people are finally, or that's Claire anyway, people are finally getting ready for sleep, and Jamie, equally tired, asks Claire to accompany him for a walk in the moonlight.
As you do.
Claire loves putting her boot prints. They go outside and it's snowed, as we said. Claire loves putting her boot prints in the virgin snow. And playfully, she asks if Jamie can recite the alphabet backwards. His answer, which one? That's so Jamie.
I can't recite anything backwards. However, I do love making footprints in virgin snow. 100%. It's fun being the first person to like mar something. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I had a bunch of things just run through my head that were all inappropriate, so I'm going to be quiet. But I do enjoy that.
Looking at the moon, Jimmy points out the, quote, immense circle of diffuse light that ringed the moon, unquote. He says it will be fair by morning. They expect they'll be able to go home the next day. Jamie tells her that Isaiah Morton had likely taken off when he'd sent Fergus out to tell him about the militia being disbanded. They walk around, enjoying the peace of the night, and Jamie pulls Claire into the lean-to. It's like kind of attached to the house.
As lean-tunes are. Lean-tunes?
He wants to ask...
Fire me. Lean-tos.
He wants to ask her something before they return to the mass of people. Quote, do you want her, Sassenach? The child, of course. Many thoughts are going through her head. And the first that we are told by Diana are not yes or no. Claire's thinking of how tender her breasticles had been since the morning. She couldn't feed the baby, but Bree or Marsley could, or it could live on cow's or goat's milk. She asks Jamie in return, do you want her? His answer is noncommittal, but definitely open-ended. He says, it's a big house, Sassenach. Big enough. So this is why Jamie's asking what was stirred up in his memory. He says, quote, I saw you with the wee in Sassenach writing. You have a great tenderness about you always. But when I saw you so with the bairn tumbling about beneath your cloak, I remembered how it was, how you looked when you carried Faith. Unquote. Amazing, and yet not, how that word, that name, could still affect her. Quote, I caught my breath. To hear him speak the name of our first daughter like that, so matter-of-factly, was startling. We spoke of her seldom. Her death was so long in the past that sometimes it seemed unreal. And yet the wound of her loss had scarred both of us badly.
I love the realism of that because I have many friends, maybe not many, but I have friends who have experienced infant loss along the same, not the same lines, but I do have a friend whose son was born stillborn, who to this day, and she was marking on social media this year that he would have been like 10, like 9 or 10 this year, and how she is still very affected by it. And I love that Diana took the time to ravage these characters in horrific ways and not forget the aftermath of it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And then there goes Diana. Quote, Faith herself was not unreal at all, though. She was near me whenever I touched a baby. And this child, this nameless orphan, so small and frail, with skin so translucent that the blue threads of her veins showed clear beneath. Yes, echoes of Faith were strong. Still, she wasn't my child, though she could be. That's what Jamie was saying, unquote.
Which Jamie, would never happen today. You can't just pick up a kid that was like your doorstep and just take it. You can't do that anymore. Not a thing.
Jamie
so don't
assures
think about
her,
it. You can't do it.
Jamie assures her that if they didn't take her, she'd be well cared for. She is kind of an heiress. And according to the people of Brownsville, she is legitimate. Jamie tells her that according to English law, a child, which of course the colonies are under, a child born in wedlock, regardless of how it was conceived, a child born in wedlock is the legal child and heir of the husband, even if it is known for a fact that the mother committed adultery. I wonder where Jamie got that knowledge from, yo. Can we say Wheelie?
Say that one more time.
No, I'm good.
Because what you said was, no. You said Wheelay, which to me is spelled W-E-E-L-A-Y, which is not a thing.
Well, I think y'all know what I said.
Willie.
Quote.
Wee Willy Winky.
The law really was an ass, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
That was Claire. Jamie says, yes, the Browns are more than happy to care for young Beardsley if she wants, but if she wants the baby, he'll make sure she gets her. The thing that might make it a little tedious together. And we're like, did I just try to say together and say together? Oh my
Maybe.
God, no. No, I actually wrote down to get her and I said to get her. Okay, I'm doing that again. The thing that might make it a little tedious to get her, the fact that he'd shot Aaron Beardsley. Even though he and Claire know, there's also Mrs. Beardsley, and Claire wouldn't be allowed to testify in court, being a married woman. But Fanny, being a widow, could. Claire finishes with, what about the baby being half African lineage or partial African lineage? Jamie says, the babies take on their mother's status, so there's no way she'd be sold into slavery. Because Fanny was free, so the baby is free. Why hadn't Jamie asked her about the baby? Asked Fanny. Because of something she'd said at the gathering. Oh, sorry. Back up. Why had Jamie asked? Gone. Why had Jamie asked Claire about the baby at all? Like, why this insistence on wanting to know if she wanted another baby? It was because of something that she had said at the gathering. She'd chosen to give him the choice of another child before leaving her own time, rather than having the safety of barrenness. So rather than having the surgery to make her barren, she chose to live with, to give him the choice when she was, in case she was reunited with him. But he says this might be a way to give her another child without risking her life if she wanted it. Quote.
That sounds like responsibility, and nobody wants that. I mean, quote, I feel like if she'd wanted more of those things, she could have done that in the 60s, and she obviously chose not to. So I'm like, I don't think she wants that now. Nobody goes back in time to adopt children.
Quote, I knew the decision had made itself. A child was a temptation of the flesh as well as of the spirit, but I had crossed some subtle line. Whether it was that I was born myself with some secret quota embedded in my flesh, or only that I knew my soul allegiance must be given elsewhere now, I knew. As a mother, I had the lightness now of effort complete, honor satisfied, mission accomplished. Unquote. No, I said softly, but Jamie, I so love you. Unquote. Susanna M. writes, the whole chapter, given Claire's insights, I thought she and Jamie would keep the baby. It was such a sweet dialogue when they finally have a conversation about it and Jamie suggests that they raise Fanny's baby together. I was rather surprised that Claire refused. In fact, when I read it the first time, I had to read it more than once because I didn't understand her train of thought. Hold, okay, Kat, come on. Come on, stinker. Get, oh, leave her. Kiva, do you want to go in the bedroom? Bria, come on. Come, baby. Buzzy. I had to read it more than once because I really didn't understand her train of thought. I had to pause my reading and find a forum where this was being discussed to help me clarify my mind. I got it now. I get it now. Claire's mission is not in raising her own babies anymore. She wants to spend time with Jamie and her grandchildren. And that's what Summer said.
Right. She did the thing. She doesn't like, want to exactly. do the thing again. And well,
she's
be
tempted.
Fair,
he's tempted.
No, here's the thing. Look, I am upwards of 40? Four decades. Barely. However, I have an 11-year-old. And from the moment when she was first born, I had thoughts in my brain of, I would potentially have another kid. Sure, I would do that so she could have a sibling. Of course, I'll take one for that team. However, the farther I got away from diapers and crazy baby stuff, the less it seemed like a fantastic idea. And now that my kid is going into sixth grade, like middle school territory, there is no way on God's green earth that I'm going to restart the clock for her moving out of my house.
Not her moving. You mean any kid?
Any kid. It's not specific to her. I love her dearly. I don't want her to ever leave me, but I'm just saying if there is a time clock,
you do want her to leave you, just not
a little bit
tomorrow.
I want her to leave because she wants to do greater things and not because she hates me. But my point being is that you don't restart the clock. When you've like passed a certain point, if you have all your kids reasonably close together, then you're not ever that far from being childless, right? Having a childless home. However, you reach a point where why would you ever start a clock when you're like 7 years from done?
Well, and especially willingly. This is not a planned baby. This is not even an oopsie baby.
This is a choice.
This is a we have no responsibility at all.
Yeah, this is not ours. And if we do this,
We are starting all over again with adult children as the model. And to be honest, when my daughter was out of diapers, I was like, nope, I'm good. I'm not going back. That was a terrible time in my life and her life. And nobody wants to do that.
Martina P. writes, it touches my heart when Jamie leads Claire away to the horses and asks her if she wanted to keep the baby. What a sweet man he is, our Jamie. He thinks he is in a position to give her a baby without having to risk her during childbirth. It would have been their opportunity to parent a child together. At my first read, I was totally convinced she would accept Jamie's offer and keep the child. However, at this point, I totally agree with Claire in her inner dialogue that her mission as a mother is accomplished. She has other responsibilities now and a grandchild on the ridge.
Then in pops Isaiah Morton into the lean-to. He needs to speak with Colonel Jamie. They share that Alicia, so I guess it's both of them, whoever, they tell Isaiah that Alicia now knows about his being married to someone else. Turns out Isaiah didn't know Alicia was pregnant. And it also turns out he's got a loaded pistol that is also cocked. Great. Jamie convinces him to put it down, but still asks Claire to go get Alicia to come out to the lean-to. Because Isaiah needs to speak with her, he says. She goes.
Seriously, screw that guy. Screw that guy.
He's kind of an icky day.
Kind of. He's more than an icky day. He's a full-on dick.
She goes in and finds Alicia. This is like a side kind of side story. I don't know how important it is because we don't know. I mean, the baby's important. Alicia, I don't know how much time they need to spend in Brownsville, but whatever. The one thing that is important about Brownsville is that one of the things is that it sets up the Browns for stuff. I'm not sure, not necessarily later in this book, but definitely book six, which is season six. And I swear there's so much. There may not be as many relationships and storylines in book six as in book eight, but I swear to you, trying to keep up with book six. I just finished another like listen, maybe a month ago, less than a month ago. I knew the big things, like you don't forget those things, but then a small but important thing would happen. And you're like, oh my God, like how? I think book six might be the hardest one, at least as far as choosing what to include or not include. Might be one of the harder ones to adapt. All a challenge, huh?
I said to adapt.
Yes. Seven has. I'm not going to spoil anything, but seven. There's more sea travel. You can cover a lot with that or not. Eight. I'm not even going to say what happens, but it. There are. I think we
eight hurt my feelings so many times. So many times.
But I think there's a lot in eight that you can truncate. I don't know. This is a whole other conversation. Anyway.
But you can't truncate the things that hurt my feelings. I'm sorry.
No. So the reason I stop all of this is because I don't know whether it's going to be included or not. We don't have any clue. But this just makes me stop. I was reading and I'm like, wait, what? So poor Alicia wants to get rid of this baby because she's just concerned, convinced that it's going to ruin her life. Claire enters the room to try and find Alicia. She's up in the loft, I think. And there she is lying naked, I think on the ground, trying to do away with herself. So she freezes to death. So she tells Claire, but if I freeze to death, I don't have to get a miscarriage. Really? Anyway.
I mean, it's a theory.
She's desperate. Yeah. So Claire tells her about Isaiah. And about him being there and wanting to talk to her. And Alicia gets dressed. Claire is thinking about the situation between Alicia and Isaiah and thinks that she's not one to judge regarding adultery, etc. Because she, even though in her case, she'd not had choices. But really, she had. In the end, her choice was to stay to return to stay. And Bree, the existence of Bree to a certain extent, Roger, and definitely of Jemmy and all of their descendants who would be born in the future, were all alive, all existed in some way related to her choice. The choice that she had made that day on a hill near a circle of standing stones. She has a moment with Frank's ghost and realizes that while she'd apologized to Frank over the years, she'd never asked for forgiveness, but realizes that he'd given it nonetheless. Susanna M. writes, "The ghost of Frank is again present in this chapter. Claire recalls past events and the consequences of Jamie and Claire's decision to stay together. But this also brings closure to Claire. She feels that she did what she had to do for her love of Jamie and that she never asked for Frank's forgiveness. Nonetheless, she feels that he gave it." And Martina P. writes, "The Romeo and Juliet drama of Isaiah and Alicia recalls past events and the consequences of Jamie's and Claire's decision to remain together. The forbidden love between Isaiah and Alicia and Claire's relationship. The forbidden love between Isaiah and Alicia is somewhat similar to the circumstances of Jamie and Claire's relationship. Claire sympathizes with the young couple who are clearly not willing to go on without each other. We also revisit Frank's ghost as Claire is contemplating her two marriages. She takes responsibility for her choices and acknowledges that Brianna, Roger, and Jemmy and any children born to them in the future were here because of the choice she made. In the end, they are all here in the past because of one Highlander known to us as Jamie Fraser." So Claire hears horses. Remember, Claire had taken Alicia down back to the lean-to. And she hears horses, looks out, and realizes that they have run off, Alicia and Isaiah. And Jamie is walking through the snow to cover their tracks. And then there are more noises from the horses in the shelter. The horses are spooked. Something spooked them. And they break out of the shelter, basically destroying it. Claire, the hair in my mouth. Claire takes this moment to go downstairs without being seen. So Alicia leaves first, so they're not seen coming out together. And that's why Claire is still upstairs thinking about Frank and everything when she looks down and sees the horse run away. After deciding that the horses would come back by morning, people in the village started filing back inside, going back to bed, left on the porch because she's still... Claire didn't go any further. She came out, stood on the porch, and didn't go any further. So standing there on the porch, she sees Jamie, finally. And she blows him a kiss. Because she realizes what he'd done to help them leave, and also to help cover up the fact that they left together. Susanna M. writes, "What do you think of Claire's deja vu moment and regression to her own experience as a baby when she saw Fanny's baby being nursed? Could it be her heightened sense of feeling, or was she drunk, as she told herself? Her hair is getting whiter and whiter. Are her powers growing? Is this a sign?" I don't have an answer. I just think that in her heightened state of sensitivity, being very tired, very hungry, I think by this point, maybe she'd eaten, but she was very tired. So if you've been sleep deprived for long enough, it is like being drunk. You are very, but at the same time, unlike being drunk, well, I don't know. It's been a long time. I guess when you're hungover in the morning after.
Hasn't been that long.
Since I was drunk?
It hasn't been that long. I mean, maybe it's a year, 2 years.
It was 2018, a year and a half ago, maybe. Nah, a year and 5 months. Anyway, I'm not trying to discuss that. What I'm trying to say is I think it's not being drunk. It's the hangover. It's the feeling of the next day when you're super sensitive to sound, light, noise, everything. So I don't know that she was feeling that. All we know is that she was really tired, but in a heightened sense of having heightened senses or being extra sensitive, I guess, and then seeing the baby being nursed Yeah, I could see that she had a moment, had a flash of insight, a flash of memory. I don't know that it's related to her power or her hair in any way. I get what you're saying about her hair being wider and her power growing, because that is something that was predicted, forecast. But yeah, I don't think this particular moment was related to that. But that's, yeah. I could be wrong. And Martina P. closes us out with, just when I thought I couldn't adore Jamie anymore, he commits another act by creating a diversion to help the young lovers to escape. Jamie knows what love is and knew in his heart that there is no way to keep the young lovers apart, married or not. He is a romantic, and we all love him for it. So does Claire when she blows him a kiss in this cold night.
And that was chapter...
Hold, please.
32.
Sorry, 32.
32. Stop it. You made me second guess myself. That's hateful. And that was chapter 32. Join us next time when we will be beginning part 4. Part 4 is entitled, I Hear No Music But the Sound of Drums. And we will be covering chapters 33, entitled Home for Christmas, and 34, entitled Charms.
And we'd like to thank our supporters on Patreon who support us every month at whatever level that they, I don't want to even say that. And we'd like to thank our supporters on Patreon. If you would like to become a member of our Patreon pod, you can do so at patreon.com/outlanderpod. And don't forget to join us to continue the conversation in our Facebook community. You can join us at outlanderpod.com/group.
Oh, and Summer, we still have some chapters left. If you would like to sign up to contribute to our read-along, if you go to www.outlanderpod.com/fierycross.
Thank you, as always, so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outlanderpod.